Hello and welcome to episode 30 of Track. At Track, our aim is to shine a light on the UK running club scene. This week on Track, we have a full roundup from the British Championships, which took place this last weekend at Sport City in Manchester. We run through the winners, the losers, the surprises, and the fallout from the weekend. We also discuss what it all means for the GB Olympic squad, which was announced earlier today, and we look ahead to the Games in Tokyo at the end of next month. As always, I'm joined by Kat Hutchison and George Beardmore. How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Yeah, good, thanks.
I should say, before we get going, we're recording at 7:20 on Tuesday evening, just after England's win. So first things first, George, it's coming home by the looks of it.
Yeah, I don't want to say that yet, but George's certainly looking very good. So, yeah, just got to, hope, I suppose.
Yeah. Very good. George, also, before we get into the British Championship stuff, you had a race since last time we spoke. So you were telling us about the Leeds Midsummer Night 10,000 metre classic in last episode and what your goals were. You came out with a PB, strong performance. Talk us through it. And you've got another crack at a 10,000 on the track coming up soon as well, we think.
Yeah, so I did the Leeds Midsummer Night 10,000 metre classic. And it was a brilliant event. Similar sort of idea to Highgate, I think, and they did it really well, particularly with, I'm sure there's still England athletics, COVID guidelines and stuff, but the support was really good. Fans in lane three, it just was a really good meet. So I ran 30:15, which very pleased with that. So my PB was 31:32, I think it was, 2 years ago. Haven't run one since then. Sort of with the aim of breaking 30 minutes, but knew that was ambitious, and particularly with it being my first 10K in like 2 years, there was probably, a little bit ambitious to try and break 30 minutes. So I the aim was to go through 5K in 15:05, and then if I'm feeling good, then that's still kind of in position to break 15 with a fast finish. But if that was fast enough, then it wasn't like so fast that I was going to blow up and like not run a good time. So I think 15:05, 15:10, 5K splits. Just started to slip really 7th and 8th kilometres. I sort of, we were all strung out, and the guy in front of me, a gap opened up to him to the guy in front. And I think the people that broke off ended up running like 30:07. So it's not like it necessarily cost me a sub 30, but I think I could have gone with that move and ran a few seconds quicker, because then I ran the last 2K or so on my own, like trying to catch up to the group in front, but couldn't do it. But other than that, really well. Good performance. Definitely didn't go out too hard, or I think all in all a very solid performance. So looking forward to giving it another go at Fast Friday, a week on Friday, 10 days. Pretty sure I'll be recovered and ready to go by then. Had a good session today, so that looks like a great race as well. I think they're going to have a 30-minute pacer in both the A race and the B race, so doesn't matter what race I'm in. Sounds like it's going to be a really good race, and I've raced there before, and it was brilliant. So, looking forward to it.
Very good. Well done. Did you watch the live stream, Kat?
Yeah, I did. I don't know how George does it every time. He calls what he's going to run, and then he just goes and does it. I'm always just so impressed. I always say what I'd like to run, but it doesn't always go to plan. This is George is always like, I'm going to get close to 30 this time. And you just go and do it. it was great to watch. I loved how when you were lapped by the winners, I sort of worked out they were going to lap you towards the end. And when they lapped you, you kind of tried to stick on the back of them for a while. And I thought if you had managed, you would have probably got your sub 30. But
I did think as they went past me, because I was still, I was tired at that point. It was probably like a mile to go, or four laps, something like that. But I knew, it can't have been four laps, probably.
It was like two laps to go or something, or in your second.
It might have been 600 to go actually, but I thought I might as well kind of use them while I could, because if I went a bit too hard at 600 to go, that was only going to kind of cost me a few seconds, like if I blew up. So I thought, try and use them while I could. The winners ran really well, and I think Omar paced it really well as well. So really good race all in all.
Great. And so for Fast Friday at Walthamstow, you'll try and go through the first 5K in about 15:05 again, you think?
Yeah, I think so. If there's a 15-minute pacemaker, I'll probably try and be on like the back of that group, so I'm not too clear. I mean, I certainly don't think I'd blow up off 15 minutes, and I might be able to keep it the whole way. But I think they said it actually on the coverage that the way to run a 10K when I've watched the streams back is to feel good with a couple of laps or a 2K to go or something. So yeah, I think if I can go through in 15 to 15:05, and then I mean, even if you're 5 seconds outside with a lap to go, that's only a 67, so it's not crazy to be able to make it up. So yeah, similar plan, and hopefully well, at least a PB, or yeah, even better would be 29:59, but it'll definitely come at some point, maybe not this year.
Absolutely. Great. Well, that was on the Thursday evening. And on the Friday evening, we started watching the British Championships. So Friday, Saturday and Sunday of this last weekend, as I said, held at Sport City in Manchester. And what was a fairly warm weekend at times throughout those few days. And the commentators did actually mention on a few of the races that the heat may have been playing a role. Nonetheless, we were treated to some pretty good racing, some pretty exciting racing, which I think we predicted there would be, particularly in the middle distance events, the 800 and the 1500 for both the men and the women. Our predictions actually were pretty good on the whole, I would say, for the most part anyway, and we'll have a chat about those. But guys, before we sort of have a look at a real depth look at the results, who were your main winners from the weekend? Who was someone who you think may have been a loser or missed out? And what were your main surprise performances? George, why don't you kick us off with that?
I think a couple of standout performances for me were Hodgkinson, definitely, and Ollie Dustin as well. I mean, Dustin didn't win, got beaten by Giles on the line, although I still could think, looking at the photo finish, Dustin had it. I don't know if it's just the camera angle with Dustin closer to you. But yeah, I mean, for what, I think they're 19 and 20 or 18 and 19. Yeah, certainly, I think Dustin's the same age as me and Hodgkinson's a year younger. So to be making Olympic teams and, well, certainly contending to be Olympic finalists and maybe even more than that at that age is, yeah, just so impressive. And particularly, obviously, Hodgkinson's been someone we heard about a few months ago, obviously winning European indoors, but Dustin's gone from probably going to Euro under 23s and just having a very good year for a junior to a couple of weeks ago running 1:43 world lead and now going to the Olympics and got a chance of a medal. So yeah, amazing from both of those two, and there were so many great performances, but I think to be doing that at that age is yeah, so impressive.
Absolutely. Anyone you think may be coming away disappointed, perhaps thought they would be on the team and perhaps aren't, or just disappointed with their performance overall, George?
I mean, I think obviously Charlie Grice, Jamie Webb, Alex Bell, I think they're the main people that, I mean, because obviously Webb beat Giles last week. Grice was definitely second or third fastest this year. Same with Alex, I think Alex Bell was second fastest this year. So they're probably the ones that, yeah, are most disappointed. And then you've obviously got people like Walcott Nolan, Paddy Deever, that although they ran brilliantly and took home gold medals, they've obviously Walcott Nolan's just outside the standard. I think Deever's about 5 seconds outside. So it's sort of a weird, bittersweet one for them. Obviously, they'll be delighted to be national champions. But yeah, I think kind of the ones that will be most disappointed, I imagine, are Grice, Webb, Bell, others as well, I'm sure, but they probably stand out.
Kat, what was the standout for you for the weekend? Who were your performances of the week? And
I think Revy Walcott Nolan was a great performance. I thought, she got the British Championship, such a good race to lead for so long and then come back at the end so strong. I think she really, the Olympics have come a year too early for her, really, even with the delay. She's just had such an impressive year getting so close to that standard. And yeah, I think it's a real shame with only two runners going in the 1500 that she couldn't just get that standard. But you know, it's great for the future. I'm sure she's going to carry on progressing. And yeah, really strong performance and really good to see her at least get the British Championship. That was probably, yeah, one of the standout performances for me. And I guess the people that I really feel missed out, I think, are Alex Bell. I feel really sorry for her. I think it was just such a stacked field. And she's, you know, she's put in all the work. She's got herself ready. And she was, you know, in a really good place. But the 800 is just one of those races. It's just, in some ways, I just feel really bad when these athletes like Laura Muir decide to double and take away a slot for someone else. It's sort of, you just wish, oh, can't you just really focus on one and let Alex Bell have that other spot. But yeah, it was just such a stacked field for her that she just didn't really get in the mix. So I feel really sorry for her. And obviously Verity, who I've interviewed before, I think it was such a hard race. I think because Amy Louise Markov, it looks like she went out hoping to get under the standard just in case hers didn't count. So it was a fast race in conditions that don't seem to be perfect. And so I feel like, you know, Verity's come again so close to qualifying for the Olympics that it must be hard at the moment. But
yeah, great. Let's run through some results. So we've mentioned the 800 and the 1500. And with women, as I'm sure most people know, the 800 was won by Keely Hodgkinson, second place Gemma Reekie, and then third place Laura Muir. And as you said, George, a hugely impressive finish from Hodgkinson to take the win. As you mentioned, Kat, in the 1500 metres, Reve Walcott-Nolan won, Wallace was second, and Snowden was third. And again, Walcott-Nolan looked like, after a strong start, looked like she had sort of lost her place, but then managed to come back and take the win there. In the women's 3000 metre steeplechase, our most recent interviewee, Lizzie Bird, pretty much executed a perfect sit and kick. So Amy Pratt came second, and Lizzie Bird was basically dragged round by Amy Pratt and then managed to come round her in the final lap, final few hundred metres. And Sarah Tate came third in that event, although it really was a battle between Bird and Pratt from the beginning. In the 5,000 metres, which we haven't mentioned just yet, Jess Judd won. I suppose you mentioned Verity Ockerton, who came third, and a very brave race, and we'll talk about her shortly, from Amy Eloise Markov, who finished in second place in 15:10.54, and we'll discuss why that's important in a second. In the men's race, just quickly run through these results. So in the 800, Elliot Giles, as you said, George, just seemed to be or not Dustin, and Rowden came third, Kat. 1500 metres, such a strong performance from Josh Kerr in the heats, as well as Whiteman, and there was a bit of a tussle for the win in that one, but Kerr took the win. And Jake Hayward came third and has subsequently been selected for the Olympic team, which we'll discuss as well. 3000 metres steeplechase for the men, Mark Pearce, Zach Seddon, Phil Norman were 1, 2 and 3. Phil Norman perhaps looked a little bit off his best post-injury, George, and then we may see, hopefully, a bit of an invite from Pierce, if we're lucky. And in the 5,000 metres, as you said, Patrick Devitt, Andy Butcher and Jack Rowe are the top three there. So, George, the team then for the women, some similar names there. But who were the key names to make the women's Olympic team who perhaps we didn't know beforehand?
I think the only sort of main thing to sort out in the women's side was obviously Amy Eloise Markov with her standard that may not have been a standard. And then whether Laura Muir and Gemma Reekie were doubling. I think Reekie did say in a press or in an interview afterwards that she was considering it at the time doing the 8:15, and there was obviously a spot for her there because there's only Muir and Snowden in the 1500, but she's decided to focus on the 8. So other than that, I think the trials more or less sorted it out, I suppose, because with Markov eventually kind of sorting her standard out, she has been picked and obviously had the, well, she had the automatic place finishing second, and then if her standard counted, that put her in the team. So yeah, I suppose it was just a case of who wanted to double, and it looks like Muir is going to. I think the double is very doable, but they do overlap. So I think, can't remember which way around it is, but like it might be like 800 heats, 1500 heats, 800 final, 1500 final, or vice versa. I can't remember in which order, but it does overlap. So it's not perfect, but hopefully she can get through the heats relatively comfortably and be kind of still pretty fresh for the final.
Yeah, so three women have been taken for the 800, Hodgkinson, Muir and Riki. Only two for the 1500 in Muir and Katie Snowden. For those listeners who aren't sure about the Amy Eloise Markov story, from her Instagram, she said that about a month ago, I achieved the Olympic standard in the 5K running of 15:05. And we know that the standard is 15:10. And she goes on to say, today I placed second at the Olympic trial. So this was obviously over the weekend. Usually when you have the standard, this would be an auto qualification for Tokyo. Usually I'd be thrilled with my performance, but I still might not be going to Tokyo. So this was before the announcement. She said on Friday, which was the day before or a couple of days before the final event, I found out that World Athletics may not accept my qualifying time. And from her current understanding at that point, this was due to an issue with cones placed on the inside rail at the meet where she ran her standard. And she goes on to say, my potential Olympic selection is in question, not due to my ability, but due to cones. So she was obviously really frustrated, as you would be. And also to find that out on the Friday before racing over the weekend must have been hugely disrupting for her. And I think that might have been reflected in the way she actually raced, because she took to the front and ran hard, presumably trying to win or finish in the top three, but also to run that standard. And she did run 15:10.54, so half a second off the standard. So a really brave race under the circumstances. And I think with all of that, fairly, you know, it can't say fairer than that, and pretty pleased to see her included in the Olympic team. Kat, must have been a tricky one for Amy Eloise there to race under those circumstances.
Yeah, I think it was... At first, I wasn't really sure what she was doing, taking the front. I think it was towards later in the race that they started to talk about the fact that her standard might not count. So at first, I was thinking she did the same in the 10,000. She took the front and then faded. And when she took the front again, I thought, oh, well, this is playing into Verity's hands at the moment. She's just being able to, and Judd just sat there on her. And then when I realised that she was trying to keep the pace fast because she was trying to secure her place by getting the standard, I realised there was actually a purpose to taking the lead there. But it was a close race, wasn't it? Watching that finish, it was. I think the whole time you could just think Judd's going to go. When she decides to go, she's going to go, and she's going to win. But the way it played out, it was, for Verity, way too similar to the European indoors. Just that, there was that moment when Verity first went past and got about a 2-metre, 3-metre gap on her. And it looked like that was it. The race was done and those two were going. And then God knows where Amy Louise Markov finds that to just come back. She just looks so strong down the finishing straight. I think maybe all the adversity with this time not counting just gave her that extra motivation to get to that line. Because, yeah, in an impressive race by all of them, to run at that pace in a championship race, it was great racing by all of them. But, yeah, really sad for Verity. I think she's had a great year. But I think if I went back to February when I interviewed her, and said that, you know, and told her then she'd be really disappointed not to have made the Olympics, she wouldn't have believed probably what a good year she was about to have. So, you know, she's still in a great position to have been that close.
Absolutely. So the 5,000 metre women's team will be Jess Judd, Amy Eloise Markov and Ailish McColgan. Only two women in the 10,000, which again, Jess Judd and Ailish McColgan. 3,000 metre steeplechase women's team will be Lizzie Bird, as we've said, and Amy Pratt. And in the marathon, seems like we haven't spoken about the marathon in ages, will be Stephanie Davis, Jessica Piasecki, and Steph Twell as well. Over to the men's team, George. We've got Oliver Dustin, Elliot Giles, and Daniel Rowden in a strong 800 team. We've got Jake Hayward, which I know you're pleased about, in the 1500 alongside Josh Kerr and Jake Whiteman. 5,000 metres we perhaps need to discuss a little bit in light of today's news. So we knew that Mark Scott would likely be chosen, even though he didn't run in the trials, but did have the time. And Andrew Butchart, currently in the 5,000 metre team. In the 10,000 metres, Sam Atkin must have done enough over the weekend to prove fitness to be chosen for the 10,000 metres. He had the time but didn't run in the 10,000 trials. And again, Mark Scott, who did have the time and ran the trials. In the marathon, Ben Connor, Callum Hawkins and Chris Thompson, as we know, from Q. And in the 3,000 metre steeplechase, Phil Norman and Zach Seddon. And George, in a minute, I'll ask you to try and explain the Mark Pierce situation for our listeners. But if we jump into the Andy Butchart story, first of all, George. So news broke today that following an interview that Butchart did on the Sunday podcast, an issue's been raised that he may have, or he suggested that he may have faked a negative COVID test to get back into the UK, which has now launched an investigation and his Olympic selection is in question. What do we know about it? What might happen, do we think?
I mean, I think because the team was supposed to be announced at 11 a.m. and it wasn't. I think it was eventually announced at 1:30 or something like that. And I think kind of just after 11, I saw the article. It was on the Times originally about Butchart. And I did wonder at the time whether that was the reason the team was late. It may have just been late anyway, or it may have been the Markov thing that they were kind of clear up, or athletes doubling. It may have been anything, but I did start to wonder, kind of having read that from about Butchart, and it said that the British Olympic Association and British Athletics were investigating that potentially he could have been suspended or banned, but he is in the team, which I mean, he has since denied it. So I think he said he was referring to another athlete he knew of. But it does make you think whether Butchart's done it or not. I think it's clearly the IOC can put all the rules they want in place for the Olympics. There are going to be athletes that ignore it, whether that's Butchart or someone else. So I think it does make you think the Olympics probably isn't going to run as smoothly as we're hoping. They might just try and cover it up and not pretend nothing's going on, but obviously not ideal. But as I say, Butchart is in the team, and I presume it will stay that way now that the team's been announced.
Yeah, let me just read a little bit of an excerpt from, this is from Sky News. UK Athletics and the British Olympic Association have confirmed they are investigating after an athlete claimed he faked a PCR test in order to get back to the UK after an international event. Runner Andrew Butchart, who has been selected for the GB team in Tokyo, reportedly told a podcast he had doctored an old PCR test result when checking in at an airport because his results had not come through in time. In an episode, which has now been deleted on the Sunday podcast, he said how annoying he found the testing and protocols when travelling abroad to compete. He's allegedly supposed to have said, everybody has faked PCR tests, I'm sure, to try to go somewhere because it's just so hard. Not a great look for Andy Butcher at the moment. So we will wait and see whether that has any further ramifications. I think unless they can prove it, it will be difficult to take him off the team now that he's been selected, but we will wait and see. Any thoughts on that, Kat, or much like we've said?
Yeah, I think he'll probably get away with that. I think without any sort of evidence, he can. That's a good defence then. He was talking about someone else. That's a good one. It's hard to prove something that's just said like that. He could just say, yeah, sorry, I was trying to sound cool. I didn't do that at all. I think he'll be fine.
George, the 3,000 metre steeplechase. So we've said Phil Norman, Zach Seddon, definitely on the plane. What's the situation with Mark Pierce, who won the British champs over the weekend?
Not entirely sure. It appears from his Instagram post this afternoon that he is not going to the Olympics based on what you said. I have seen, I'm pretty sure that it did say in there, or it might have been Team GB, in their team announcement that they are waiting for invitations from World Athletics that which athletics may or may not accept. And I think they are based generally on the world rankings, but also just where there's spaces to be filled in events. And I think Mark Pierce was just outside the top 45 that he had to be in going into British Champs. I'm not sure if the rankings have been updated. But yeah, basically they just said that this is applies to obviously all events. It could be long jumpers, it could be anyone. But British Athletics are expecting some invites from World Athletics kind of later this week. And from obviously, you still can't take more than three per country. So in kind of the women's 800, for example, Alex Bell can't get an invite. But it's possible in the women's 15 and the 10,000s and obviously the men's and women's steeplechases that there is room for another British athlete. And I presume, based on the world rankings anyway, I think Mark Pierce is the closest to be getting one. But then like kind of the steeplechase might already be full with athletes from other countries. So yeah, I don't really know how they decide or kind of where the rankings come into it. Because obviously, although he's like maybe 50th in the world rankings, there's probably 10 or 15 Kenyans ahead of them and they can only take three. So I'm not really sure how it works once you filter out athletes that aren't going. But hopefully he can go. But it looks, certainly from his Instagram, like it's probably not going to happen.
So we know who is in the GB team now, pretty much. What's going to happen in the Olympics? So basically we're a month away, 4, 5, 6 weeks away until these events will be taking place over in Tokyo and Sapporo for the marathon. Who do we think is in with a chance of making finals, potentially getting a medal out there? Who are our best hopes? George? Perhaps those middle distance athletes, again, are probably our best hopes out in Tokyo.
Yeah, I think so. I think, obviously, we know certainly the 5K, the 10K, the marathon, and actually the steeplechases are very much dominated by Kenyans and Ethiopians. Callum Hawkins obviously finished fourth, I think, at the last two World Championships, so not really seen him race for a while, but if he's in good form, he'll be a contender, definitely. But yeah, I think we don't know the Ethiopia team yet, and we don't know the Netherlands team yet, which makes a big difference in the women's side of things, because Tofana Sang could probably win anything from the 1500 up to the 10K. Obviously, there's Gide and Abiri and Sega and others, but that definitely makes a difference. But I think Josh Kerr is probably our best Olympics chance. He's second fastest in the world this year behind Timothy Cheruiyot, who isn't going as it stands. He is not in the Kenyan team, which I still can't understand. He's not lost a race since 2019, I don't think. He finished fourth at the Kenyan trials, so no idea what happened there really, but they don't do the US system of top three and that's it. They do have a discretionary place, so how they've not picked him, I really don't know. They probably can change their mind, but was a couple of weeks ago now, so I presume they would have done it by now. So taking him out, Josh Kerr is the fastest in the world this year, so I think he's probably the best chance. And obviously Jake Wightman's right up there with him. Jakob is probably favorite if he does it. but I have heard rumors that he's going to focus on the 5k, because I think the double is tough, it's doable, but there's rounds on the same day or same evening. So if there's no Jakob and no Cheruiyot, and Jakob might well do it, they haven't announced the team yet, then yeah, he's Kerr's right up there. And there's Cole Hocker, Matt Centrowitz, obviously Kenyans, Ethiopians. But yeah, I think Kerr's got a real chance, and Whiteman as well. And Haywood, I think, is 24th fastest in the world this year, but 15th by the time you remove like the fourth and fifth Ethiopians and Kenyans. So if he's 15th and 12th make the final, you can easily make the final. And once you're in the final, who knows? So yeah, I think that men's 1500 meter team in particular is, yeah, really, really strong, particularly if there's no Cheruiyot and maybe Jakob does the 5K.
Yeah, also in the men's 800, George, we have no Donovan Brazier from the United States, who failed to qualify in the US trials. So strong runs from our team, Dustin, Charles and Rowden. You would think hopefully making the final there. And, you know, when you're in the final, who knows?
Yeah, and if you have even two or three in a final of eight, then, yeah, you've got a really good chance of a medal from someone there. I think, obviously, I know Donovan Brazier. I've not seen Nigel Amos for ages, and he's erratic at the best of times anyway, so I don't think he's a reliable medal contender. Watching the US trials, I thought Clayton Murphy looked really, really good, and I'd actually say he's favourite now with no Brazier. I think people would have said Hoppel was second favourite behind Brazier, but he looked a bit off his game. He might change between now and then. So Clayton Murphy's world leader, Patrick Dobek, who won European indoors, is the second fastest. Kenya have picked Career, Rotich and Saruni, so they'll all be good, I'm sure. But yeah, Dustin's fourth fastest in the world. We've seen how good his kick is, so that makes him a real threat, and particularly probably makes rounds a little bit easier, because rounds are generally not flat out, so if he can just run a fast 150, then he'll be fine. Giles is timing his season really well. He was, after running insanely quick indoors, he looked a bit average, really. Got beat by Webb, got beat by Rowden, I think, in the last couple of races, but won British champs, seems to be timing it well. And then, like I say, Rowden can easily make the final, and once we're in the final, who knows? So, yeah, I think those men's 8 and 15 teams are really strong. And I think with no Brazier and potentially no Chariot, then they're wide open. So, yeah, really excited about them.
Yeah. Who are you looking forward to seeing in the Olympics, Kat? And where do you think we could have strong performances from?
I'm looking forward to seeing Keely Hodgkinson. I think Riki and Muir are both world-class athletes, and she had a massive lead on them by the end. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what she can do. She's very smart, isn't she, at racing? She just stays out of trouble. Just every time you see a race, she runs a sensible race. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what she'll do in an even stronger field. But I mean, just to make the Olympics for her at her age is amazing. And interested to see Muir in the 1500. I think again, she's been running well in the 1500. She's down to her sort of PB shape, so that, you know, maybe even better by the Olympics. So really looking forward to that.
A huge amount to look forward to, particularly in the middle distance bits and pieces. There might be some, so obviously Tokyo and over in Japan, so that will be happening. When will that be happening, George? When we are sort of late evening for us, will it? Or will it be early morning? We'll be watching those races.
I think so. I think the morning session, I might have got my time zone completely wrong, but I think the morning session, because they're behind. No, they're ahead, aren't they? Yeah. So yeah, the morning session will be on in the middle of the night, that means, doesn't it? By 11 a.m. their time is like 3 a.m. our time or something like that. But then the evening session, say it starts at 7 in Japan, that's then like 11 a.m., something like that. I don't know if I've got that the wrong way around, but I definitely know one session is more or less unwatchable and the other one is very watchable. So hopefully it's the evening session, because that's the one with all the finals.
Yeah, great. Okay. Well, that's a bit of an overview, a bit of a rundown from the British champs and the GB selection. I think compared to previous Olympics, obviously we don't have a huge medal favourite such as a Mo Farah, who we now know will not be at the Olympics this time around, having not really mentioned his performance on Friday evening in the 10. But I think still lots to be excited about and across those middle distance events. Last thing then, I suppose, guys, is between now and the Olympics, what do we expect to see from these athletes? Is it back to training camps, I suppose, George? A bit of recovery from these sorts of string of races and then try and peak again for these athletes?
Yeah, I presume a little. I mean, there's Diamond Leagues a few days' time, actually, I think. I think there's a couple of Diamond Leagues between now and then. And Gemma Riki said on the Backstreet Boys podcast I listened to this morning that she's planning on doing Diamond League. She wants to keep racing and keep sharp. I imagine maybe the 5K, 10K runners will maybe try and get a bit of a break before going again. But it's obviously tough because you don't want to back off now because there's obviously only 6 weeks to go. But I think there's just about time to maybe take an easy week and then kind of really start ramping it up again. So yeah, hopefully we'll see a few Brits in Diamond Leagues and show some form. But yeah, like I say, very strong team. And like I say, we've got no Mo Farah, but we've certainly got kind of more medal contenders than ever before, if not kind of a gold medal favourite like we've had in the past. So yeah, we could win no medals or we could win six in the distance rate. Yeah, we've got lots of contenders, so it's going to be really exciting.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure over the next few weeks, we'll do a proper look ahead to the Tokyo Games and we'll have a look at the schedule, who will be racing when, and do our best to give you some good information on that. That's it for this one, guys. I should also mention on a day where Mark Cavendish, George, has won his 31st stage of the Tour de France, a pretty good comeback, a night that we'd watched England beat Germany. So all in all, a fairly good, and Andy Murray won yesterday, didn't he, in the tennis? So we've got plenty of sport to keep us interested over the next few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And just, like you say, Cavendish, that's a real example of coming back from, well, that was almost like Mo Farah winning the Olympics sort of thing. It was amazing to see him get back there after what he's been through. But hopefully we'll have won a Euros by the time the Olympics goes around. But that's probably, too soon to say that.
Yeah, it's coming home, George. It's been decided. It's coming
home. Hopefully.
Right, guys. Thanks very much, Kat. Thanks, George. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. If you do like what we're doing, drop us a comment or tell us what you'd like to hear from us in the future. That's it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks. Good luck with your race. Well, you got two races this week.
I've got a 5K tomorrow over in Bath and then a 10K on the weekend. So we'll see how I pull up from those two races next time.
Yeah, all the best.
Cheers. Cheers, Kat.
Yeah, good luck. Bye.
Bye. We'll